Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome in to another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager at Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at dmelt57. And before I bring in all of my usual line mates who have assembled with us this evening, we have to start with a brief correction from last week's episode. Bob Barker is not dead, so we apologize to anybody in Bob Barker's family or friends that was listening to the show or just big fans. We didn't mean to accidentally kill him. He's 98 years old, alive and well, and we hope he lives to 198. So again, apologies to all of that. Bob Barker's not dead, as secondhand reported here at Second City Hockey. But awkwardly walking away from that mistake, let's bring in all of the usual crew who's here this evening. Up first, they are the analytics darling of Second City Hockey. You can find on Twitter at Jehosa's Witness, no doubt reveling in a massive Detroit Lions victory on Sunday. It's Shepherd Price.
Spay and neuter your pets, folks. As the man who's almost 100 years old once famously said.
Once famously said five times a week at about 10:58 Central every morning.
Yes.
Or whenever they recorded it, but, you know.
So, Detroit did what the Blackhawks are not supposed to do this season, which is they won a game. But it's against the Packers. And just like any game against the Detroit Red Wings or the St. Louis Blues that the Blackhawks win this season, that's forgivable.
You have to make exceptions at some point. And it, honestly, right. Like, not that I don't want to besmirch the Lions because I think they played well, but it was just kind of hilarious watching Aaron Rodgers just play like just trash.
Three interceptions against arguably the worst defense in the league.
And he had the one where he was throwing to his left tackle. He was wide open by a mile, and Rodgers just underthrew it right to Aiden Hutchinson. Made no sense.
Here's the other thing. Aaron Glenn, our defensive coordinator, has not had a good season. He got the game ball, deservedly, because he just schooled Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Side note, Chicago Bears have the best quarterback in the NFC North, true or false?
Probably true.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Also with us this evening, you can find on Twitter at Mill182. He is the Second City Hockey. What Austin gets is the turnover. It's Mill Savage.
Is that their singer's name?
Uh-huh. Austin Getz.
I only know him as the drummer of Trapped Under Ice.
I just learned that he's the drummer for Trapped Under Ice.
Yeah, they were a side project like a long time ago. I had their EP, and then now they're huge and going on tour with Blink. So good for them.
They're going on the Blink tour, huh? Good for them.
So yeah, I think they're opening the whole North American portion, I think.
So wait, because Casey Getz is the drummer for Turnover. So is that?
Oh, I thought you meant Turnstile. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Turnover, Turnstile. Turnover's first EP is good, and their first album's good, and then they got really boring and trendy, and everybody likes them, and they play with a lot of chorus.
I feel like Turnover's like kind of reminds me of like old school Jimmy Eat World. Like it's like this is what emo music's supposed to be, not just dudes whining about the girl that they couldn't get in middle school.
Yeah, but like that's actual emo music. But the Jimmy Eat World's music is fun.
Yeah,
it's like dynamic.
That too. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's our music corner. It's better than our Taylor Swift conversations from the last 3 weeks.
I just wanted to mention, because normally we, last 2 weeks, we've had the Hawks game on while we recorded. So since they're not playing right now, I have a game from 1997 on where they're playing the Dallas Stars.
Are they wearing the home whites, though?
Yeah, it's from January 7th of 97. And Dallas is like the black with the It's like not the big star one, like the older one.
Okay. I think I know. So, I think I can visualize which one you're talking about. Please, yeah, please like keep Madonna. Us updated on what happens as the game goes on.
Yeah, so they're doing the anthem right now. I'll let you guys know.
Okay. Also with us this evening, she's not on Twitter, but you can find her at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR, where she is the Second City Hockey Bull and Wall of Text. It's Betsy.
Well, you guys were just talking about music. One, I have tickets to Blink through work, so that was very exciting. It's not till like July of next year, but they already have, because they sell the box seats to employees or give them out depending on if you can get into their raffle. They do that like when public sale goes on. And then two, Jimmy World was the opener for Green Day on my second concert ever.
What year would that have been?
I don't even know.
I'm trying to think.
2001.
How
It bled through that.
I bought a t-shirt there that was like the green. It was like a green cloverleaf Green Day shirt. It had like sports stripes on the things. I thought it was very cool. My sister was there because I was too young to go by myself.
So, but getting back to the Blink-182 tickets, is your company hiring anywhere in Chicago, or do you have connections in Chicago? Can you get Mill and I tickets to go see that show in Chicago? Because I don't have $500 to pay for that show.
If you want to go, just tell me. I'm going to go to four of them. I'll have tickets.
Okay. All right. I'll have my people get in touch with your people. But
you should come down to Atlanta. They're only like $300 down here.
We have two. We have back-to-back Chicago, May 6th, 7th. I'm just going to go to Pittsburgh, and then I was trying to go to like either California or Arizona for one, just to, you know, why not?
There you go. All right. So, well,
let me know if you want to go.
That's good. We'll be in touch.
They might have extras in Atlanta because or even New York, because apparently there weren't that many people that asked about it. And I was like, okay, so I get them for free? They were like, yeah, we're not going to do a raffle. So here you go. I've also gotten like Fall Out Boy tickets that way and
all right. So
my last panic at the disco tickets.
Look, I'm only going for the phallic jokes.
Yeah. Sounds like we're going to Atlanta, Mill. I don't, and Shay. I mean, hey, everyone liked Blink at some point, right?
Hey, yeah.
Of course.
They're fun live.
I mean, no one likes you when you're 23, but besides that.
There. Well, way to work it in. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of things that nobody likes, the 2022-2023 Chicago Blackhawks. It's been a rough week, folks. We were gathered on Tuesday night when they lost to the Islanders 3-1. The biggest thing that happened in that game was Casey Zizekas murdering Alex Stalock, which I think happened while we were on the air. And Stalock remains in concussion protocol a week later. Then on Thursday, the Hawks beat the Kings 2-1 with a Jonathan Toews winner in overtime. It was Thursday for sure. And then Saturday they played maybe the most boring game, a non-consequential game I've seen in at least 3 or 4 years, and lost to the Jets 4-0. I have so little to say about anything that happened in these games, because really the most interesting thing that happened was last Tuesday when Stalock got trucked by Casey Zizekas. And we were talking about that as it happened. So I don't know what else to even mention or discuss or what have you related to all these games. So I'm just going to swing it over to Shay as I usually do. And we're going to see where the evening takes us. So Shay, what's on your mind? Hockey related, of course. We already talked about the Lions.
Yes. I really don't want to talk about the fact that I have the Taylor Swift clock.
No, we don't.
So the Blackhawks... they're not doing okay. So I know I'm the person. I'm the major. Blackhawks need to lose the season because there's three excellent players at the top of the draft that you want one of those three, especially if you're actually rebuilding. And I know I'm the major prophet of that modus operandi.
Oh, you're a prophet now, are you?
Yes, I am the prophet of that modus operandi. But here's the thing: you want entertaining losses, and none of the Blackhawks losses recently have been entertaining, and that's unfortunate because that's not the kind of hockey you want to watch. So the Blackhawks want to avoid being unwatchable. They want to have fun games. Like the Lions, again, let's go back to the Lions. They were the best offense and the worst defense for a while there, and that's fun. You're just watching constant scoring. That's fun. That's what you want to watch the Blackhawks. You want to watch 5-4 games. You don't want to watch 2-1. You don't want to watch 3-0. You want to watch 5-4 games, and they're not playing enough 5-4 games.
There was a college football game on Saturday. I think it was Houston and SMU. The final score was 77-63. That's the kind
that's
of stuff
what we're, you want.
That's what you're hoping for if your team's definitely not out to win. But the downside of all of that, Shay, and I imagine it's something we're all keenly aware of, is I think what happened those two games this last week that were very boring, I think that's closer to what we're going to expect and deal with for the rest of the season, because I think that's just the way this is going to go.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. I don't think this is a very talented roster. So, yeah, I think the unfortunate thing is you're correct about that.
Yeah. Betsy, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, because if you look at their, like, stats, they're actually worse than last year. At this point, even at this point, and they were on like a.
And last year they started 0-9-2.
Yeah, exactly. So we're only at game 12, and you really, like, by 20 is when you start to really see trends. But there's nothing. There were three games in a row where it was really positive that they were limiting quality against, and then they were pretty good at it in three or four more games. And then all of a sudden that just stopped happening and was especially porous the last few games. And when you can't suppress quantity and you can't suppress quality without taking 8 billion block shots and you're still letting a bunch through, mind you, that's going to be bad. And that's what's been happening.
And that's what I've been looking at, like, all the possession numbers that keep trending south and getting worse and worse and worse, and like trying to figure out the cause of all of that. And it just seems like they're just not getting the puck out. Either they're not getting the puck out of the zone, or they're turning it over and then getting buried at like 30, 45 second gluts of time, or 30 and 45 second periods of time each time. So they're just consistently getting buried in their own zone because they're fucking up with the puck, essentially.
So that happened against Winnipeg, but like the two games before that, it felt like they would get the puck out, but they would go down and just have like maybe one shot and the other team would immediately turn it back around and then be in the zone for a while. So like they just wasted their opportunity, mostly because they don't have a lot of guys that have finish. There's a lot of effort, but there's not a lot of finish. And there are a bunch of like Marcus Krugers. Marcus Kruger was great at getting out of the defensive zone with his line, getting it down there and getting a shot on goal, usually mostly to stop play so that Patrick Kane could come on. But that's not happening this time. This time they're shooting wide, or somebody missing or trying to dangle, and it only works one out of like 10 times. If that. So, and I think they've wasted all of those already. I think they got those all out of their system.
Well, and like the games that they won early in the season, like it was all like weird fluky stuff that was happening, you know, like Lafferty scoring those two shorthanded goals. They had the power play's actually been really good this season. It was up at like 35%, I think, at one point. So it's been they're like all these little fluky things were happening and they were winning those games. Now those fluky things have stopped happening and you're getting more of a better, more accurate picture of what this team actually is. And it's a pretty ghastly looking picture.
Do you want to know? So for most of last year, the expected goals at 5-on-5 sat at like 2 to 2.3. It's at 1.98 right now.
That's how much they're generating?
Yeah. Per 60, at 5-on-5. And some of that's
incredibly low.
Yeah, that's really low. And some of that's skewed because they have played a lot of special teams time, but they're not so far outside the minutes of other teams that it would be like horrifically off or skewed. It'll be better when they have more time, but that is that's the second lowest. Only the Coyotes generate less chances. Yeah. And of course, expected goals is quantity and quality together. Yeah,
right. And
go ahead, Jay.
That phrase that Betsy just said is something you never want to hear. Only the Coyotes.
Well, I guess, but and I'm going to swing this around to Mill after I ask you two this follow-up. Isn't that just a sign of where this well, where this roster is right now.
Maybe that just
tells you how it just tells you how bad the team is.
I mean,
on the Blackhawks, if the Blackhawks come in second last only to the Coyotes, that's a nice use of that phrase.
I mean, yes, in a way, it's just that a lot of the players on the team should at least be like, they're all in close grunt players, you know, they're all the, like, I'm trying to get a dirty goal type of player, like 90% of the roster. So you would think that they would be getting slightly better high danger chances, just even on their off, like just in general, they're just not. And for a team that everybody's like, oh, they're scrappy and they're high effort. Teams aren't high effort if you can't get to the net. I mean, okay. So like, yeah, I mean, you would hope the whole point of this season, I think we were hoping, is that we would see under Richardson that you would see improvements of these types of metrics, even if the roster itself isn't a high enough quality to cash in on them or keep them off, whatever. And it's been slipping. And so that's not positive to me.
Mill, I don't know if you had any follow-ups to that or anything else you've noticed in the last week or in the season as a whole, but wherever you wanted to go while we were interrupting your nostalgia trip, please go ahead.
Okay, so first, I misspoke. This is from 96. I didn't notice, but Nichols is on the ice, so it's definitely 96.
Okay.
Keith Carney opened up the scoring from the point, so Hawks are up 1-0.
All right.
It's about 5 minutes into the game. Dallas kind of looks like shit. Which is funny because this Dallas team was actually pretty good. Also, I'm really annoyed because I forgot that they didn't used to keep the scoreboard or the clock up during games.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we
yeah,
have
you're watching
a
very
for.
Old game then.
So we have a lot to be grateful for in 2022. No, I mean, the Hawks are kind of like, I get that they're going to be boring, win or lose, because they're trying to play responsible defense. I mean, Soderblom, I don't know. He had a pretty good game against the Kings.
It's Blom. There's only
I mean, they go. Look, I've heard it both ways, but
you've heard it incorrectly one way, I think.
Well, I'm not debating that, but he played very well against the Kings, and that kind of I think is what gave them the win, really.
Mm-hmm.
But because the Kings are pretty yaha themselves, but. It's like, look, they're going to, unfortunately, like Chase said, you want to have them lose but be fun, and they're not doing that. And I don't think they're going to. I think that Luke Richardson takes his job seriously so far, and it's still early, but they look like a team that wants to play responsibly, even with the talent that they don't have. So this is going to be a kind of a long season.
Well, and I think the other thing related to what you said, Mill, is like, not like, so they, like, the roster was already not very good, and then they lost Seth Jones, and then they lost Tyler Johnson. And like, yes, they've lost goalies too, but we're focused more on the skater portion of the roster. So it's like, I just wonder if that has also had some effect of why they've been slipping statistically lately, that, and why they kind of looked even worse than they had at the start of the season, because you lost. Well, you know, I know the debate about whether Seth Jones is or is not a number one defenseman is there, but he is the Blackhawks' number one defenseman for lack of a better option. And Tyler Johnson was skating in the top six. So those are two pretty big pieces that they lost, and it's inevitable that you're going to have some fall off when you lose two players like that.
Well, I mean, it's like any team in any sport. Like, they're two of the more talented players on the roster, despite what anybody may make them out to be. The Hawks are not a very talented group, and that's why I don't want to say I'm impressed, but I'm kind of, even if it's boring, I'm kind of relieved because the coaching was so poor the last few years. It's like, hey, this guy has them, and at least like it's not an eyesore when they're in their own zone. You know, it's like, oh, okay, they're trying to block passing lanes. They know where they're supposed to be. They're not behind the net.
Yeah, it just seems like it's more, and I think this is what we've talked about a few times, it's more of like operator error than systemic error. Players are just fucking up. So,
and that's a nice change of pace from what was systematic error before.
Yeah, and I'll point out, like, so Dave, you posted the whole, you know, who are the best, have been the best shutdown pairings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was going around on Twitter, the Money Puck
and
website.
Jack Johnson and Seth Jones are in the top, like, five. Like, and that's impressive. And you guys, I think you said that's surprising, and I remember saying, I actually don't think it's that surprising because they had weird chemistry. Like, I don't... Seth Jones didn't click with a lot of people last year, and he pretty much instantly clicked with Jack Johnson. And I think a lot of that had to do with Richardson's system working for both of them, for one, which is props to the coach. But Jack Johnson was playing better than maybe he's ever played, and that maybe includes last year with Colorado. Like, I don't, and it's not like it was great, but.
Well, stylistically, Jones fits in with Colorado, and it kind of makes sense that he would know how to play with him, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So, I mean, he played his role well. And the other part, of course, was that Seth Jones and Jack Johnson haven't been together during this poor slide for the Blackhawks, so that sample of them in that chart is slightly skewed. But the loss of that top pairing, not just Seth Jones, but a consistently good top pairing probably hurts the Blackhawks a lot more than you would expect when they sign Jack
Johnson. So Seth Jones' injury is entirely to blame for this slide. So Seth Jones is going to come back, and they're going to still be a, like, hanging out around like 20th in the league standings and ruining the draft lottery situation. By the way, I just want to clarify the chart that you were referencing, Betsy, was and just for all the people who can't see this chart because this is not a visual medium, it was the defensive pairings across the NHL with the lowest expected goals against rate. And number three in the NHL was Seth Jones and Jack Johnson, which was very surprising. The top two were number one was, I almost said Jonathan Toews, Devon Toews and Cale Makar in Colorado. And number two was Brady Shea and Pesci in Carolina. So yeah, there you go.
And that was by Money Puck, if anybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was I think it was retweeted from the Second City Hockey account, if anyone wanted to check that out. But yeah, it's there. It was just an interesting development. Like, I would also be interested to see how much that pairing is, like, starting in the offensive zone, which probably helps skew those numbers a bit as well, because those are two more offensive oriented players than say, like, Jared Tenorti or Jake McCabe or Connor Murphy. So,
well,
those are
weirdly, I know for a fact that Tenorti and Murphy were starting in the offensive zone more than they were the defensive zone when that other pairing was on there, because I commented on it going, that's weird. Like, in one of the recaps, I was like, why is that happening? I just assumed it was because Tenorti needed to be sheltered, but then Richardson kept giving him minutes, and I was like, no, that's
the Jared Tenorti thing. Like, It's weird. Like, they picked him up on waivers, so he clearly was not in high demand, and he's skating like 20 minutes a game now. Like, obviously that's partially due to Seth Jones being hurt, I think, and somebody has to take up those minutes. But it's just a little strange that he's playing so much, and like it's almost like a little concern. Like this season, I try not to get too worked up about anything that's going to happen this season because it's just a throwaway season. But like, it almost feels like they're going to try and bring him back like in the next year or two, just to keep him more. But that's exactly, Shay. That was the exact noise that I was thinking.
Well, thank you.
What happened when Ian Mitchell is healthy?
Well, yeah. Well, we're going to find out pretty soon.
Sweet summer, Betsy. You haven't given up on Ian Mitchell yet?
Not after last season when he was ridiculously good in the AHL. He might just be an AHL player, but Tenorti isn't an NHL player, and he's playing. So
Ian Mitchell had this is gonna be my last the last time I pound the table for Ian Mitchell as being a future piece, but he's gonna have to do more than just be on the roster this season. Like, I think he needs to take some steps forward at the NHL level, because he's gonna be all out of excuses because there's 35 blue line prospects behind him now.
Maybe he'll get sent to another team and take off like, oh, Kirby Doc, or oh, Dominic Kubalik, or Dylan Strome.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, Betsy, because I wrote about this at the site today, and it's a very interesting observation. I think, like, I like with Doc, DeBrinket, and Hagel, like those three players were traded away. Pieces came back in return. If those pieces that came back turn into something very good, I don't care. Like that happens. That's just the nature of professional sports, not just hockey. It's the Kubalik and the Stromans are so weird to me because like I understand, like it just seemed like nobody wanted them at the trade deadline last year, so the Hawks didn't trade them. And then they didn't bring them back in free agency because they were just good enough to maybe make to make the Hawks just good enough to not be the worst team in the NHL, even though they're like even already up higher than that. So I understand why the Hawks didn't bring them back in free agency. But like they go to these teams and they are playing very well in top 6 minutes. Kubalik's, I think, the leading goal scorer and point producer in Detroit right now. Strom's playing second line minutes and doing pretty well for a second line center. I just don't understand how nobody wanted them at the deadline last year. That just, it still befuddles me that nobody wanted them.
It's because
I think as Betsy said last week, why trade assets for them when you can get them for free the following year?
But if you yeah,
because you don't want to give assets up for there were where there's a lot of more proven players. It's the same way Deneau was traded for trash. Okay, yeah. you had a good young player who, like, ignoring his future, he was going to be at least a solid third line player. Okay, or at worst a Kruger replacement. Like he was somewhere between Boland and Kruger, is what they wanted for him, and he obviously did way better than that. But they traded him for trash, but known trash. Okay, Kubalik and Strome were not proven enough for anybody to be like, I want to trade for that. You know, like that might not be trash. It could be recyclable. So, and that's what happened.
Right. They got recycled by better teams and better organizations, and they turned into better players.
Go ahead, Betsy.
I was just going to say, it's the whole thing that the Blackhawks have been selling low on all of their, like, low on a lot of players, not all of them, but a lot of them. They sold low on Schmaltz to get Dylan Strome, and like the minute they and Perlini, the minute they hit like a bottom, he was in a slump and they traded him. Yeah. And like that's what happened. And then they get these two, you know, they got Strome and they got Kubalik, and they let them walk on their lowest point. Like yeah. it's always frustrating when that happens. I don't think that's Davidson's fault.
No.
To be clear, I think it was Stan Bowman's fault for ever being Jeremy Colleton in. At least partially because I think he, as a coach, and then a little bit with King, kind of ruined any momentum.
The fucking better some of those seven Horcruxes to get that guy fired.
Yeah, I think Kirby, like the biggest mistake with Kirby Doc was bringing him in too soon. He should have never started that first season, especially under such a terrible coach.
Yeah. Right, like, and that's the same case for Boqvist too, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if Boqvist is like he's fine in his role, but Kirby Doc can probably go up. He's playing wing mostly right now, which is
with
fine.
With Suzuki and Caulfield, which is a good line. But like he got to run with Kane and DeBrincat in Chicago at times. So
he was a child.
Yeah, and no, and like I would have like I feel like the city of Montreal is already rolling out the red carpet for Doc, and like just give that some time. We'll see. Like it's like he's doing now, like that 9-game stretch in the bubble when he was awesome. So I mean, if he turns into a good player, cool, good for him. It'll be a double agent situation. He'll ruin Montreal's draft status, but I'm still unconvinced that he's that good. But we'll see.
Oh, I don't think he's as good as he's been, but I think he's better. I think he's somewhere. Like way a hot bet where he was last year and somewhere below the like almost a point per game he is now.
Go ahead, Mill.
Quick update. There are three referees and at least two of them are not wearing helmets. And Bob Probert just took a shift on a panel or on a power play, followed by a graphic of him being featured as number four on a list of players with the most points that have at least 100 penalty minutes.
Ah, 90s hockey.
This is fucking ridiculous. I'm sorry.
We've come a long way, folks.
You know, the thing about Doc, though, is I kind of joked for a long time about, oh, when the Hawks finally give up on him, he's going to get really good. And I really think that Doc might have been a better player. Oh, we scored. Was that Probert? Holy, oh no, Pelios followed up. Oh, he was a Greek god back in the day. God damn it. So I had to put all the, there's a guy in a Wolves jersey saying crush with a crushed Dallas poster board sign in the crowd. So I think Doc got hindered by not just a shitty coach, but the wrist injury and coming into like the COVID season is like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it was a whole bunch of bad circumstances that,
like, he definitely wasn't good. Like, no. I'm not like defending him as a Hawk. I'm just mean like he also dealt with a bunch of shit.
Yeah, there were a lot of circumstances that led to that whole situation going the way.
God damn, Dennis Savard is on this team. This is his last year, I think.
It's pretty close. If it's not, it's close.
It is. No, it has to be because I have it might have been the next year because I have a Savard jersey from his last year.
Yeah, going back to Betsy's point though, I think yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sorry.
Doc is not great. He was not great here. I think he's like a 60-point player at his ceiling.
Oh, you're more optimistic than me.
I guess it depends on if he lives up to his underlying. Like his micro stats were always still very good. You know, like the combination of him. One, especially last season, he's not physical. He's been physical in Montreal, but we've all seen that before. And he doesn't score goals. He's a playmaker first and foremost, but shouldn't be an issue. Everybody watch Patrick Kane in this league. And then, you know, two, he can't win faceoffs. Like, so
yeah, well,
not like a statistical, like inside the margins of error. This is like, you know, sub 40. So maybe being a center is not necessarily going to be in his future, but I mean, it is what it is. I hope he does well because I thought he was a nice kid. I hope Nazar does better.
Nice guy.
I hope Nazar comes into the league and just blows it up. And yeah, we forget that Kirby Doc ever existed.
That's exactly where I was going. Nazar makes us forget that Nazar. The entire.
I mean, I forgot about that he existed until you guys brought it up.
Well, and I just forgot.
You must not follow like Laz or Tracy because they do that whole "you remember him"
thing. That's Tracy Meyer's stick entirely, yeah, that we steal all the time.
I kind of just don't read through Twitter anymore, to be honest with you.
Well, in a week you may not be able to. We'll see.
Unless it's only if it's not Simpsons related, I don't care.
Yeah, the Exodus back to Tumblr. Right?
No, I'm waiting for MySpace.
Is that just fangirls?
Yeah.
See you all on Mastodon.
Look, every time people talk about Mastodon, I'm like, that's a band. What the hell are you guys all talking about?
Bad name.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I feel like. Like, I don't know if Mastodon is it, but if
makes me think of Power Rangers.
Yes, absolutely. I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, just I feel like something will show up in the if that whole thing self implodes. Feel like something will show up and fill the void. But
oh, for sure. That's what happened with Twitter. That's how Twitter.
And I was wrote about this today. Like, I know there's a lot of awful parts of Twitter. And I cannot defend any of those at all because they are terrible. And there's a lot of things they're doing that are probably a detriment to society overall. But there are things that I associate with the good times of being a Blackhawks fan. And one of them is Twitter, because I think Twitter really started to take off in the first half of the 2010s before it got as toxic as it is now. And being on Twitter during Hawks games in the first half of the 2010s was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I think it added to the overall experience, and I will forever associate Twitter with that time. Maybe that's just me, though.
That's nice.
No, I mean, that's kind of, I feel like.
Thanks, Betsy.
I was gonna give you validity.
All I can think is like Brad Pitt from Inglourious Basterds. Oh, ain't that nice? Right before they carve a Nazi symbol over the guy's head.
Well, to be fair, Dave, that went hand in hand with the increase in ticket prices. So, like, a lot of us who were always up in the 300s kind of just became Twitter friends.
Yeah, it was like an online sports forum for a while. So, and now it is what it is now. But hey, we got a few other things to discuss. We're just going to take a quick time out here and regather ourselves and talk about some more stuff on the other side of this break.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we'll break down... We break down who will be cutting... Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4-3-2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. And right before we get into our other discussion for the second half of the show here, Mill, we want to go check in on your nostalgia trip and see how things are going back in 1996 Blackhawks land.
Yeah, Hawks are up 3-0 at the intermission. We're looking pretty good. Power play was like, about 50%. We chased the goalie, so I think we're doing okay.
All right, sounds good. Who scored the goals?
I have to check on that third one, but it was Keith Carney and Chris Chelios.
Excellent D pairing from NHL All-Star Hockey 95. It was either Chelios and Carney or Chelios and Suter. I don't remember, but I remember Chelios and Carney were two very good defensemen on that team.
Yeah, so we're looking good. I'll let everybody know how we're doing in a little bit.
All right, sounds good. So the other thing we wanted to I think what's going to become a theme of this podcast throughout the season is kind of shifting to a league-wide focus, because a lot of other teams are going to be a lot more interesting than the Blackhawks this season. And if you were at secondcityhockey.com at all on Monday, we had a little article that was updating all the – what we're calling the threats for the Blackhawks landing the number one overall pick. You can also call this the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. You know what we're all insinuating here. So it was a look at the NHL standings to see where everybody else is. And we kind of wanted to run through these real quick and see if I was the one that put this article together and assigned threat levels for all the teams. So I want to see if the panel here agrees with the threat levels I assigned, because the Hawks, as of this episode, so this is before all of Monday night's games wrap up, they're sitting tied for 19th in the league with the Washington Capitals. So the teams underneath them in order are Washington, Calgary, Minnesota, Montreal, Nashville, Pittsburgh, Arizona, Vancouver, Anaheim, San Jose, Ottawa, St. Louis, St. Louis, and Columbus. So I, as I was putting this together, like, roughly half of these teams were in the playoffs last year, including St. Louis. So even though they suck, I feel like they're going to figure something out and probably not be of a concern for the race to the bottom of the NHL standings. But some of these other teams on this list are still a little scary with how bad they are, because they seem like they're worse than the Hawks. So, Shay, I'll swing this over to you. Is there any team in particular that you are keeping an eye on that is going to be – especially bad this season and might be flirting with the bottom of the standings with the Hawks?
Well, you know, it's got to be Arizona.
Well, yeah, I should have exempted Arizona, because we're just assuming they're going to be there.
Vancouver, I think, is low-key in trouble. They haven't been able to turn it around. And Thatcher Demko, like, he was astounding last year, and they still didn't make the playoffs. So,
and I think the big thing with Vancouver is there seems like there's a – like a cloud over them, a little bit of a funk. There's like fans throwing jerseys on the ice, and there's just this general sense of unease around the team that is, it seems like it's worse there than in other places right now. Like there was already talk about them trading away Pettersson and Brock Besser and blowing the whole thing up like 3 weeks into the season.
That's I wouldn't trade away Pettersson, because they need to build around him, but there's a talk about trading Besser forever.
Well, but Pettersson's like 27. Isn't he a little bit older? I'm going to look this up while you're talking.
He was taken the draft before Boqvist, I believe.
Yeah, Pettersson's okay. He'll be 24 this week. So, I don't know. Hey, Hawks traded to Brinkett, so stranger things have happened.
I like besides them, I think this is really bad.
The Ducks.
I thought the Ducks were like Trevor Zegers is gonna do some things, and
basically McTavish will improve over the course of the season too.
Yeah, like I feel like Anaheim's not.
The Ducks are.
I'm not scared of the Ducks.
The Ducks are bottom five possession, bottom three or four quality chance share team in the league. They're only mildly better than the Blackhawks. Like, there's like a less than 1% difference, I think, for both of them.
I think the thing with them, though, is I think they have young talent like Zegras and Troy Terry's younger. He's only 25. And Shea mentioned Mason McTavish, who's only 20. Like that, and like because they have younger guys, like they could progress over the course of the season. And as they get better, the team will get better. So I could see that.
Dallas Eakins can take them. Like that's their coach.
I mean, it's okay. It's a very low bar. I'm not saying doubt they're going to go to the cup, but to get out of the basement of the NHL standings is not the most steep climb in the NHL. So I think what I was going to say is I think they have potential to do that. A team like the San Jose Sharks, who's just a bunch of old dudes and they are really bad to start the season. I don't think they have much hope at all. Like Erik Karlsson is like playing at a Norris Trophy level almost right now, and that team is still 29th in the league. They're on pace for 53 points right now. And like they don't have any like fun young talent on that team that I can think of. So
aren't they like losing mostly because of goaltending though?
Probably. Because they have like, James Reimer and Kaapo Kähkönen.
I mean, that's what's happening with the Jackets too. Like the Jackets aren't good. But they're also getting the worst goaltending at 5-on-5.
Columbus is another team. Like I thought they were going to be better with Johnny Hockey and all that, but they are atrocious right now. They have 6 points.
Okay, one ref does have the helmet on, just so you guys know.
Oh, thank you,
Mo. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
Looking at these standings, which teams do you think are going to bounce back? Because like Pittsburgh's down there.
Oh, I like Pittsburgh's got, they still got Crosby and Malkin. They'll figure it out. Like and I like they were,
coach. Yeah.
Yeah, like them and like some of the other teams that are down here, like Nashville, the Minnesota Wild. I think they're gonna like the Ottawa Senators. I think are like getting bad puck luck right now. Alex DeBrincat actually, like, I know we were talking about him in the first half having a ton of points. They're primarily assists. He's not scoring goals that much this year. He's only got two. So he's shooting 4%. His career mark is 15. He'll probably turn it around, and that team, I think, will figure it out. That's another team that if you apply the principle of they have young talent that's going to improve over the course of the season, I think they'll be okay. But San Jose is the biggest one for me right now. And I guess Columbus now, because their goalies are so bad. Like I know we joked about maybe the Hawks having bad goalies this season. Their goalies are miles ahead of Columbus right now. Elvis Merzlikins is having a very bad time this season.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's any other teams down here that I'm looking at right now worth a high level threat. It's like, I think right now I don't even have Arizona that low right now because they've won some games and Clayton Keller's playing really well. We'll see how that goes by about Christmas. We'll have to check in on that again. But
I just wanted to correct the Chelios goal actually got credited to Brent Sutter. Chelios got the primary and then Eric Daze had the third.
There we go.
Yeah. Our guy,
that's my guy.
SCH favorite. But also, Guy fucking Carboneau is on this Stars team. So, anyways, I'm having a great time.
Yeah, Mill, who's your pick for the worst? The team that is competing with the Hawks for the worst in the NHL standings this year?
Vegas.
How dare you? How dare you? I just wanted to see if Shea
was
season.
I just wanted to see if Shea was paying attention. Oh no, Chelios just got hurt. Fuck. The trainer just came out.
A reminder that this game is from 1996, people.
Yeah, Kaylee Chelios did not get hit. It's okay.
I was like -4 when this game originally.
Jesus, he got creamed though. He would have got kicked out of the game for this shit in this day and age. Holy shit. He took like an elbow to the face and then went up on the boards and fell on his knee. Anyways, I think San Jose is like miserably bad, like you said. Like they're really bad. Like they might be legitimately the worst team in the league. And I think a lot of that's because the Hawks coach kind of has them like trying, whereas like San Jose looks like they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know.
I mean, Erik Karlsson might call them. Erik Karlsson might alone, having the season he's having, might get them enough points to like disqualify them.
He's got 10 goals.
Yeah.
He's,
but they just look like they don't, like they're hanging the not interested sign as a team.
Yeah, like Carlson's career high is 21. He's got 10 in the first 14.
They let Sam goddamn Lafferty score 2 shorthanded goals against them in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, like, and James Reimer actually isn't playing terribly for them, but they just don't have a lot. Like their like top offensive threats are Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl and Logan Couture.
Okay,
like, those guys, they're fine hockey players, but they're not like top tier talent. So
all right, Chelios just came out of the locker room, so we're okay. Although I don't think they actually checked for concussions back then.
Oh yeah, I don't think they had a concussion protocol then.
Although the trainers have the sickest starter jackets on. They probably go for a lot of money these days.
Mel.
I would say San Jose, I think, will outdo the Ducks because they're in their own division.
Mm-hmm.
The Ducks will probably boost their points just from playing like them and Vancouver, et cetera.
And I think that could be one concern with Columbus, because if I remember correctly, looking at the rest of their division, there's some pretty good teams in that division.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
The Devils
are flying out the gate. Carolina's there. The Rangers are still. Oh, that's the other team I was going to mention, because I fully expected them to be down near the bottom with the Hawks. The Philadelphia Flyers are kind of good so far.
Carter Hart he's a contender now, right now, for the Hart and the Vezina, probably.
Torts, baby.
He is the only player on that team.
I want to make, like, for those who may be unfamiliar with this, I want everyone to understand the goaltender position in the Philadelphia Flyers organization is like the quarterback position for the Chicago Bears. They haven't had one in like Ron Hextall was the last legit good goalie they had, I'm pretty sure. Like they've been searching for a goalie forever. So the fact that Carter Hart might have, like, he had a couple rough years. He had one good season when he was younger, and then he had a couple rough seasons, and now it seems like he's back to his old form and they're playing well enough in front of him to be in like third or fourth place in that division. But again, that's where my concern was with Columbus, is like they just might get destroyed by their division every night and then end up down near the bottom. So go ahead, Mel.
Also, that same could be said for the Hawks and Jonathan Toews, apparently.
Yeah, that is true. I think that's like, obviously the whole point of this season is to try and get into the draft lottery to get one of those top 3 spots. And if I had to handicap it right now, I would be very heavily leaning against their odds being good. And they're going to be in need of a fortunate bounce. I think that's the realization I'm slowly kind of coming to, is like, I don't know if they're going to be bad enough. And Shea, Betsy, do either one of you have similar thoughts?
Yeah, I think they're gonna be bad enough. I think for sure bad enough.
When I say bad enough, I'm thinking like I think they're gonna be like, if out of the 32 teams in the league, like I'm worried they're gonna be like 26, 27, and not in the 30s. Like that's my concern right now. That's why I feel like they're gonna end up, unless something drastic happens. Unless Kyle Davidson, Nancy Kerrigan's Patrick Kane in a parking lot.
Well, the trade deadline's gonna happen.
Yeah, but I like obviously they.
You have to think about like They have to get rid of a bunch of people, right? Mm-hmm. They have to flip Domi. They have to flip dude's name I'm never going to be able to pronounce, Andres.
Grease Lightning.
they have to flip. Like, I would think that they're probably going to flip Lafferty if they can, because he's got like another year left on his deal, so he'll be worth more. Like that's part of what Hagel was worth more. To teams like Tampa and stuff like that. Dickinson, like, he's never going to have a better season than this if it continues.
That's true. But I guess, like, the concern is, like, they're going to make all these trades. That's, I think, March 2nd is the deadline. That's going to be, like, 60 or 70 games into the season. Like, how much further can you fall after the trade deadline?
Didn't they, like, lose a fuck ton after the trade deadline last year?
Yeah, but I think the trade
Didn't they drop, like, four or five?
So the trade deadline is March 2nd. They have a game that night. It's game 61. So they would have a quarter of the season still to go. I don't remember exactly when the trade deadline was. I know they traded Hagel. The Fleury trade happened. It was like the second week of March. So, yeah, I guess it was around the same time. And they lost three in a row, March 15, 19, and 20. And then after that, they lost... Oh boy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They lost, let's call it 12 of 14. All right, so maybe, I guess there's more games left than I would have initially thought. So maybe there is still time for them to plummet out of the picture. But I guess that's just my,
a legitimate worry because I think I've said this before, but I feel like not getting a high draft pick is a waste of trading Alex DeBrincat. Yeah, like that was the biggest gamble for trading him was to pick up a high first this year, but not that they didn't pick up that high of a first. I mean, a seven is good, but it's not great, especially in last year's draft. It's not as good as it could be. It's not as good as a top three pick. Yeah. And then to make the team as bad as they could. And if they're not going to be bad, then they have wasted that a little bit.
Yeah, no, that is a fair conclusion to make. And I don't want to get too far into those weeds because we're only 12 games into the season right now. So I don't want to. But I do have my initial gut feeling about this team is that they are not they may just not quite be that bad, especially with seeing how poorly some other teams have started, specifically Vancouver, San Jose and Columbus. So we'll see. Maybe Johnny Hockey will figure it out out in Ohio. But I think that's about all I want to talk about for the Hawks and the league-wide stuff. Anybody else have any other thoughts before we talk about some food things? I'm going to take that as a no. Sorry, Shane.
Yeah.
I thought I heard somebody mumble something.
Oh, no, I'm just kind of like watching this cycle happen and wondering where it's going to go. It's hard to tell who the fuck's on the ice when you can't see the numbers from the poor quality.
You don't have the glowing puck?
No, I wish I did.
There's no ads on the boards to give you a seizure while you're watching the
there's
game?
There's ads on the boards, but there's not much else.
There's not the moving ads on the boards like they have now that are driving me insane.
Oh, my God. Thank God, no. Yeah. Those are nauseating.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are, once again, the best food-themed hockey podcast on the internet. So to take that claim or to continue that tradition, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. We have to talk about some food stuff. So I was out of things because I feel like I've exhausted my brain for a while on food takes. So Shay, did you come up with something?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Lovely.
So when people talk about Chicago pizza and having lived outside of Chicago now for 2 years, it gets talked about somewhat frequently, especially when I say that I'm from the area.
Everyone you're from Chicago when you're actually from Naperville? I'm sorry.
Maybe because not everybody knows where Naperville, Illinois is. And the vast majority of Americans know where Chicago is. They only ever discuss deep dish. And while deep dish is good, it is not even the best style of pizza that Chicago offers. And you know what's exceedingly rare outside of Chicago that should absolutely not be rare outside of the city of Chicago?
What's that?
Tavern-style pizza.
Well, I think that is first off, I'm worried. I feel like I this is one of my like number one campaigns in whenever like people bring up pizza and they always like, oh, deep dish Chicago. Like, as you said, Shay, like I think like the tavern stuff is even better. Yes. Thin crust tavern cut. Like I think that's, I would take that over deep dish any day.
I don't know why I can't have that thin rectangle. Like, okay. So the way they cut tavern style is one of the best things, I think, just in general. But like, I want that thin rectangle of pizza that like comes from the crust, the edge. I want that. And I can't get it outside of Chicago. And I want it like every time I have pizza.
You can't get, they don't cut your pizzas in Texas.
No, everything's bigger in Texas, including
it's
the
always
pizza
triangle. It's always triangles here, and I don't want a triangle of pizza. I want the
Texas
little like
be like, we don't have tavern cut, we have Costco style.
You want the little squares?
Yes, I want the portion sizes.
See, okay, counterpoint. Those are like, you're not getting enough, like, you can't get crust in that. Like, there's not enough crust to go around. I don't like. I'm one of those people that will turn, like, I'll eat a little bit in the front and then I turn my pizza a little bit to the side and eat sideways. I know that's probably a little weird, but I like.
Were you casting the stuffed crust pizzas hut commercials from 2002? Like, I feel like.
No, but I hate I hate stuffed.
Stuffed crust pizza. So,
yeah. I mean, like they keep trying to put more meat into the bread and I'm like, could you stop? But I also think deep dish is kind of gross. I've had lots of deep dish and I have never really liked it very much. I think it's too much.
It depends. Yeah. It can be done very poorly. Like there are some very good places to get it in Chicago.
Most famous, like there's like one place there that's like
Lou Malnati's.
Yes. I've been there like 5 or 6 times in my life and I have still never.
They're good. I think there's better after that. There, Pequod's is the place that I was told to go to when I lived up there, and I think that is it's under the radar outside of Chicago, but I think most people who live in the city know of Pequod's, and it's very good. So I would, if you're ever back in the city, Betsy, seek out Pequod's. But getting back to the original point, like I don't. Can you, this is what I'm curious with Shay. Can you request like how they cut your pizza? Like if you called up a place and ordered a pizza, you could tell them, can you cut it tavern style? They may ask what's tavern style, I guess, but.
Yeah, that's the thing is that like, again, I feel like most pizza places outside of Chicago don't know what tavern style is.
You definitely wouldn't be able to do that at like most places in the South because the our pizzas are, at least to my, they're going to have bigger crusts on the outside. And tavern style is like the toppings go almost to the edge and there's only a teeny tiny little bit of.
Right, right. It's basically just enough to hold.
Yeah. Hope it doesn't spill over.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I've had enough pizza in the South to know what it's even like down there.
There is tavern style. You just have to go to a tavern.
Okay.
It's not. Okay, here's the thing. The South is not the pizza destination that New York City or Chicago or even Detroit is.
That's
well,
true.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go ahead and say, like, if when you come, Dave, if you want good pizza in the South, there's a place right off Georgia Tech that has, it's like a little shoppy of Italy because it's got a gelato place over there too. And then like they sell stuff that's not food. That's like cups and plates and stuff like that in that same little shop area.
Oh, okay, so I was like, well, so what do you do with it if it's not food? Like,
no, I mean, it's cute. Like people will be like, I'm going to go for pizza and then I'm going to shop and then I'm going to get gelato. I'll get gelato while I shop.
Okay. Okay.
A lot of tech students go there because it's like right down the street.
I'm going to be closer to Georgia State University than Georgia Tech.
They're literally within 5 miles. I mean, it'll be like 15 minutes of traffic, but they're not far.
Okay.
Downtown Atlanta is not big. Downtown to Midtown is where those two are.
Okay.
You go Peachtree and then 10th Street and then you're there. That's it. One of the 8 Peachtree streets.
No, okay. But yeah, like I mean – when you think of food in the South, nobody, you're not thinking of pizza. You're thinking of like barbecue or tacos, I guess, or like something that's deep fried, I guess. I don't know. And I guess like if you're thinking like New Orleans, it's like Cajun food. So pizza's not really in the
Classic the food Southern range. You're thinking of like barbecue, you're right, but like fried chicken and stuff like that.
Grits. Of course, grits. I mean, come on.
Obviously. You get waffles, chicken and waffles here. Mm-hmm. Very fucking good.
Yeah. I'm trying, like, I don't have I'm in full agreement with Shay that like tavern thin crust tavern style pizza is the way to go, but I think it's I think that's one thing that I know we've talked about this before, but like if you want that type of pizza, like go up to the Midwest to where it's from. Like maybe it doesn't belong in the South because that's just not, it doesn't fit with the culture of the area, and vice versa, that the food that's in the South doesn't belong up here. Like I think there needs to be some sort of regional, like you should maintain some sort of dominion over the food that is native to your area. Like don't just this weird thing where all these like I don't really know how I'm trying to say this without sounding like a total asshole is basically where I'm coming off as, but just like there should be like foods by region that you should have to go to that region to get them, because if they travel outside of that region, it's not going to be done as well, and you're not going to get the full appreciation of how good it can be. That's what I'm trying to say, but words are hard.
I agree to an extent, but I agree with Shay too that tavern pizza is better than deep dish. Deep dish, of the three types of pizzas, there's like traditional with like a thicker crust, top, mm-hmm. tavern, then deep dish. But that's because I think deep dish is low key trash.
Well,
I think
trash. Wow,
it's not trash. It is not trash. It is. Okay, I think we've had this conversation before, but it's just more of what you like about pizza. It's more sauce, it's more cheese, it's more ingredients,
it's a lot of cheese though. Like that's the one thing, it is an excessive amount of cheese.
I love cheese.
Have you seen the TikTok trend of like people asking on deep dish where the cheese is? It's like just underneath the sauce, and there's more of it than there is in regular pizza.
Shay, I am not too old for Twitter. I am definitely too old for TikTok. I'm sorry. People can send me TikToks. I will look at them. I have younger people in my family who keep me up to date what's going on TikTok, but I will not get on TikTok. I refuse. I am an old person. I don't belong there.
Do you go on Instagram?
Nope. Don't have one. Oh. Too ugly.
Wouldn't I was going to say Instagram is very much a place that even like millennials hang out, and most stories I feel like are just repeated TikToks. So
my story today was a picture I found on my phone from this wedding I don't remember taking, of me taking a shot with the bartenders.
Like for the longest time, Facebook memes were just screenshots of tweets. I'm like, I saw this 3 days ago. Why is this on my Facebook?
Yeah. Facebook was Reddit.
I have a pizza take to add to this.
Go ahead.
Ooh, yeah.
You should have pizza towards the end of your wedding reception because everybody drinks too much and there needs to be more food.
I was at a wedding that had at like an hour before the wedding ended, they brought like a massive heart-shaped pizza, had it delivered for the bride and groom, and obviously everyone came and ate some, and that was a top five wedding idea.
Yeah, I mean, like, you gotta be somewhat responsible. Yeah,
you need some carbs to soak up all that booze.
Daze just scored again. Sorry.
I enjoy these random outbursts. By the end of this season, we're going to all be streaming the same game and yelling about it because it's going to be more interesting than watching the actual Blackhawks.
See, I think the reason that – I mean, I have Instagram and stuff, but, like, I don't have TikTok. I'm more interested on – now on YouTube, you can put really long videos because back in the day, it was, like, 10 minutes or whatever was cap.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching these old games. Like, I mean, this isn't even nostalgic for me. I was, like, 4, like Betsy said. Like, I don't remember this.
Well, the 10 hours of white noise videos that are on YouTube come in very handy when you're sleeping in a foreign place and need something to help you fall asleep.
Oh, you don't just sleep to Pat Foley calls like I do?
No. I have nothing to add to that.
I know. I was like, that's a blank.
That's just an oddly specific thing. Like, I don't. There's too much going on there. I would not be able to.
It's just, or better yet, it's just a loop of Doc Emmert yelling Kane with Hossa fist pumping.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good game.
All right, but to put a cap on the entire pizza discussion, though, there is no such thing as bad pizza. I just want that on the record. There's definitely better pizza than other forms of pizza, but at the very minimum, pizza is at the worst pizza, still a pretty good pizza.
Pizza with fish on it is not good.
That's not pizza. That's
trash.
That's a war crime. And whoever's doing that should be in the gulag. So,
I mean, anchovies are like something people like on their pizza, and I'm just
no, I'm all right. Yeah. Well,
no, thank you.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Thanks for the panel for all hanging out this evening. Shepard is on Twitter at Jehosa's Witness. Mill is at Mill182. I'm at DML57. The main account is at 2ND City Hockey. Betsy is not on Twitter, but you can find her at SecondCityHockey.com under the name LBR, where you can find the rest of us and all the things that we write and not talk about all the things that we write, because that's what that's for. And then all of our previews, recaps, articles. We got some prospect updates coming this week because the Hawks don't play again until Thursday. And we're going to have a bunch more stuff coming up throughout the course of the season. Just as a quick follow-up, I think I said last week that we were soliciting people to request or applications to join the staff. We're going to start pinning or going through those tonight and tomorrow. So if you were still interested in that, there's still time to get in on the consideration. The email is secondcityhockey@gmail.com, all one word. And we'll take all those into consideration. And thank you to everyone who's reached out already. But that's going to do it for this episode. We'll be back next week. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you then.